Hello, Capricorn and Cap Rising, maybe a few Cap Moons. Welcome to One Night Only, the Kala Sarpa Yoga edition of Astrology Studio for Capricorn. My name is Eric Francis, and I'll be your astrologer for the next hour or so. Listening to a little bit of the industrial sound of Vision Quest. Usually we're very mellow and ambient. This is another flavor of our music. First, I want to thank you for patiently waiting for your reading. This often happens around the holidays, and I knew that there was no way that that I could jam out a Capricorn reading of any kind in the middle of doing 12 other 90-minute readings, and because I needed to let the well fill up again and get some new ideas. Unfortunately, I waited because I hadn't quite put together all of the Kala Sarpa yoga stuff, which I've been writing about and which we're linking to. I'll get to what that is in a moment. At the time that I did the All of Us Here readings, and so we've got a fresh angle, and I'm planning to recap some of what I covered in All of Us Here, but also whenever I do that, it's a whole new language and a new approach to astrology that is not easy to read and not easy to live through. And as I'm sure you have figured out right now, Capricorn has been the epicenter of all of this complete lunacy that has been going on in the world the past year, owing to the conjunction of Saturn and Pluto a little bit over 1 year ago, and then a series of conjunctions of Jupiter and Pluto in your sign, and other things involving lesser-known small planets that have been involved and are still involved. And then, of course, well, Pluto in your sign, which I'm going to focus on quite a bit in a later section. And then, right, when Jupiter and Saturn left Capricorn, Saturn remains active. Saturn, the ruling planet of Capricorn, remains active because it moved into the next sign. It moved into your second solar house. Then the very next thing that happened was it took a conjunction from Jupiter. And so this is actually quite good news, and it gives you a lot to work with in the way of resources and support from your environment, and also the ability to access your own resources. I mean, that is the most important thing. What's coming from outside of your immediate personal sphere is of secondary significance to your growing awareness of who and what you are, and your growing awareness of who and what you have to offer. Still in all, it has been just wild, and the likely result is you have been under a lot of pressure. You have been feeling what Patrick Walker called enforced changes, being pushed into a grow or die moment. That's my translation of Patrick's more polite, polite way of saying enforced changes, you know, which he would use to describe, you know, aspects involving Saturn and Pluto that came with this inevitable feeling. And everyone is traumatized by the events of 2020. And the most important thing to bear in mind is that the events of 2020 were in themselves traumatizing, but they were tapping into this well of unresolved pain that exists in the human condition, particularly here in the Western world, where we have all these problems that we occasionally remember but very rarely do anything about to solve. And so it is just provoked much old stuff that's been going on. A lot of abandonment issues and parental stuff, because this government that's supposed to protect us, right? These companies have stepped in as being the government in loco parentis. Even at the most charitable reading of events, are complete fuck ups, and so they have, at minimum, failed to protect society and protect the economy, and many people have been damaged by this. They have been injured by this, and now we are entering a whole new year, a whole new realm of astrology, which, by my measure, stretches out to about 2044. So, for many of us, the rest of our lives, or most of the rest of our lives, and we're still carrying the pain of the losses in 2020. Now, for some who are really well adapted and able to rise to the occasion, this has been a perfectly good time. However, for maybe them personally, but everyone is impacted by the state of affairs of the people around them, and we all know that what's happening to many, many people is just simply not cool. And so even for those who are doing pretty good, who are negotiating financially, who can keep their businesses going or their jobs, and who are able to pay the rent, and who can stand wearing a mask all day long, which I know that many of you are forced to do against your will, and you've probably figured out that it's only making you sicker. That's not cool. That's an abandonment. That's an abuse of power and an abuse of trust, and we've just seen this going on and on and on. And the thing that I have noticed with major outer planet transits, of which you are under, you know, refreshing a bit, Pluto entered your sign in 2008, and has been there. It dipped back into Sag for a little while in 08 and early 09, but then it's been in Capricorn straight through. So I count Pluto in Capricorn as beginning in early 2008. That came with a whole cascade of rolling disasters and collapses of various kinds. And so we're seeing all of this Kali Yuga type of energy, this breakdown of the known order happening. And so this is not the kind of transit that you just get through and then you kind of keep on going, because the world itself is being remade. And you might think of Capricorn as being the sign of the made world, that which has been made. The institutions that have been built, the families that have propagated, to some extent, ideas, but mainly structures. It's Capricorn is more about structure and less about the content. The content comes from other places, and we've been seeing all of this really intense structural change and you know, deconstruction. It's not even way too friendly to call it structural change. This has been this ripping down of the world. And the thing that concerns me about you is that this has been all over either your sun or your ascendant or your moon and likely other planets, since the planets tend to cluster up around the sun and can often be found around the moon and in the first house. This has had you under quite extraordinary pressure. And I want to suggest here that you take yourself through a kind of a recovery process, a conscious effort to heal from what you've been through, and to get yourself into a better place spiritually and psychologically. The transit of Saturn through your sign began in 2017, and it stretched all the way out to the end of 2020. Just the transit of Saturn through one's birth sign can have an oppressive and challenging feeling to it, like being held down in some way, or You know, the metaphor sometimes used is the wet blanket. But the thing about Saturn going through your sign, going over your sun, going through your ascendant, going over your moon, is that it is always about coming to terms with who you are. And so that has been part of this. Need to and urgency around in the Patrick Walker spirit of enforced changes to grow up. And I don't say that with any judgment as much as I say that with knowledge that in American society in particular, people are not encouraged to grow up. We live in what poet Robert Bly called the sibling society, where there are not any adults. And so the pressure that you've been under has very much been about the pressure to come into your full adult self and to not project your concept of authority outward onto any external structure or person as being the final arbiter in your life, but rather to take on the role yourself of being the person who is in control of your choices and who is ultimately responsible for your life. And there are vast psychological mechanisms that exist that don't make this easy. I know many of us who are into psychology are familiar with the work of Eric Fromm, a book called Escape from Freedom. And the concept of this book is that to really enjoy and appreciate the privilege of being a free adult who makes their own choices, which is a thing that has hardly been available to the majority of people except as it did so in the 20th century, right? Much more structured rules of society, and people were far less mobile, and women were just simply expected to get married, or they were counted as some form of an outcast. Suddenly, in the 20th century, despite all the rolling train wrecks, the opportunity to be free began to present itself. And the problem with that is that it is a lot of responsibility. And it requires making peace with the possibility of failing. It requires making peace with knowing that ultimately your choices are your responsibility. And this is just too much for many people who really want to be told what to do. And the thing with a big Saturn transit like you've been through is that just does not work. And if it, you know, does work, it puts people into very subservient positions where they basically trade in their ability to make choices for the seemingly easier route of being told what to do. And then what often happens is people get to a certain point where they figure out that they only have one life to live. And though it may have seemed expedient in some way or easier, that they get to a point where they realize, wow, they really did want their freedom. They really wish they had made choices that they hadn't made or lack the courage to make. And there can be no doubt that to rise to the occasion of life, even in good times, easy times, which life on Earth is never really easy, but easier than what we've got right now, requires courage and really requires the willingness to take a risk that might not succeed. And it would seem that among the many things that are way too much to ask of people, this is one that's way too much to ask of many, many different people. The experience that you've had of Saturn conjunct all of your primary stuff, your sun or your rising sign or your moon, has had the effect, though, of really making it obvious that, you know, you're either going to engage life and confront life fully, or, you know, you're going to give up all of your power. And one of the problems that we all face right now is even those people who don't want to give up their power, who don't want to give up their freedom, who recognize that they're being taken advantage of, who want to keep making their choices about their health and not having their health allegedly be subject to a whole series of unjustified government mandates, even if you don't feel like you want to go along with that, you're living in a world of people who do and who are willing to, and in communities of people who do go along with it and who are willing to go along with it. And even if you have done the work of enlightening yourself, you're still living with around a lot of people who have not done that work. And and you know, you can seem you know, inappropriate or crazy to them. And what you've been through with Saturn and then followed by Jupiter in your sign has been this radical calling to fully wake up to your power, your responsibility for your life, your freedom to choose, your need to be a wholly, fully functioning adult in the world, and to confront the fact of your own existence, and to confront your need to do all the things that an adult human can get to do when you engage your power, basically. And it is not too late. And it is, I think, continuing to be very important that you engage and confront the astrology that we have got going on, the Kala Sarpa piece, which I'll get to in the second section, raises the stakes on this. It makes it more important that you use your power for the right purpose, and not for the wrong purpose, and not for no purpose. And if nothing else, the passage of Saturn through your sign and the prominence of Saturn in your chart now have likely had the effect of awakening you to the finite quality of time. There have probably been physical reminders of this, events that have happened that have reminded you of the frailty of existence and the finite quality of time. And there are three main ways to, you know, respond to this. One is just to hit the snooze and go back to sleep. The other is to go into despair and possibly depression. And the third major option is to wake up and meet the day, meet the future, meet the reality that you are here among us on the planet, and to make contact with your purpose. And this whole notion of purpose is the, what you might think of as the defining feature in the doing the right thing versus doing the wrong thing analysis of life, of you know, embracing your dharma, your right livelihood, whatever way you might think of it, versus doing what is expedient, what is convenient, and potentially doing what you know is wrong. And we've been put into this position where there are a lot of people who have to do what they know is wrong and also do what they know is not helping them and not helping society, because they have been hemmed into a situation where there are many fewer options. And so one of the skills of both surviving and thriving on the planet, particularly at this time, is the skill of making options for yourself. And this can be done even in the form of an exercise where, when you are faced with any decision, you actually stop and reflect on what your possible options are. Every single time you're faced with a decision, particularly a decision that either makes you nervous or a decision that has possibility to it. So, for example, you're going to do something with work. Well, first of all, what's the basis of the decision? Is the basis of the decision the value of finding a job that pays you enough to live? Or is the basis of the decision connecting with your life purpose and connecting with your pre-existing goals, and then living that way? And I get how much courage it takes to live boldly in times when so many people are being pushed into utter desperation and despair. And I want to encourage you to really connect with your highest vision for your life, your sense of your possible truth. There's a lot in your astrology right now about tapping your resources, connecting with and acknowledging your resources. The movement of Jupiter and Saturn simultaneously into Aquarius, and having those two planets form their first conjunction since 1405, I believe, 1415 or 1405, early in the 15th century, nearly 600 years ago, activating the personal resources, self-respect, self-esteem angle of your chart is over-the-top amazing. But like an inheritance and like any talent, it comes with a set of responsibilities. And I'd like to go over some of that and tapping that potential after a short break. And this is Vision Quest. So my plan for the second section of this reading is I want to talk about the second house. So second house, which is where your ruling planet Saturn is going to be for two more years, a little bit more, and where Jupiter is going to be for a big part of 2021, not all of it, but much of it. And then to talk about Kalasarpa Yoga. The second house is one of the most important houses in astrology. It's really where you find out where someone stands with themselves. And in classical astrology, it is the house that is associated with one's movable possessions. So it's not your house. You might say that the biggest thing that can count as part of the second is your car, but it's also your money, the tools of your trade, the things that you possess that you value. It's your pots and pans. It's your, you know, trusty pocket knife or six shooter in all of its forms. And then when we move into psychological astrology, it is the value that you place upon yourself. And this is a very tricky area for many people because humans don't typically place a high value on themselves. This is bred out of us as we grow up, and we're told that we are not so special and that there is nothing particularly worthwhile about us, and our curiosity is snuffed out. And yes, there are parents who have gone the other way, particularly in contemporary times, of making their children feel like the most special people in the whole world, and neither is that true. What is true is that you are a human, which is a rare and powerful thing to be, and that you have many more options open than you think, and that how you imagine yourself, how you think about yourself, is in many ways the most important quality that determines whether you actually get access to your own resources. So, therefore, how you think of yourself, who you think you are, what you think you are, what you imagine yourself to be, are crucial to your experience on Earth. And you have Aquarius on this house. So the second sign, this whole method uses whole sign houses. Second sign in its entirety describes your second house. Those qualities of what you imagine yourself to be, what you imagine your worth to be, and do you recognize your own worth? And having Aquarius here creates one of the distinctions of the life puzzle of Capricorn, which is that Aquarius always represents some form of group consciousness. And so, as someone with a strong Capricorn chart, there is an overlay between what you value in yourself and what resources you have and collective resources, but more significantly, what you might think of as a consensus dynamic about whether you and your life are worthwhile, and a consensus dynamic around your personal values. In other words, it is very easy for you to think that something is good or good for you if other people approve of it, if other people have the same idea, if you imagine others to be on the same page as you, and what this can create is quite a bit of conformity, quite a bit of adjusting your priorities to meet what you think are the standards of others. Now, one of the hints about this is that it is largely the result of a family drama. Almost everything that comes through Aquarius can be examined on the level of the family drama, because the family is the first group. It can be the tribe in earlier times, but in our world, in our era, that group of people that you're surrounded by as a child can for you become the arbiters of your reality. And this happened so young that you were not aware of it when it was happening. Every child wants approval. Every child needs approval and acceptance. And to some extent, we are all measuring our worth, our human worth, as children at this formative time in our lives, in the case of Capricorn, in the first 7 years, based on what people are saying. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's not good. Oh, don't do that. You'll never succeed at that. Oh, you're not really good at that. Oh, you're wonderful at that. You're such a funny person. You're not mechanically inclined. Oh, you can't spell. There's something wrong with you. You'll never succeed at that. You're too stupid to do that. You're so smart. You should do something really, really, really hard. No, this is the kind of things that adults say to a child. And so, in this way, what can happen when you have Aquarius on the second is that others are dictating your sense of your self-worth more than you are. You barely even get a chance to do so. And accordingly, the values that others have, the priorities, right? That's another way to say values, the priorities. But the term values actually goes deeper than priorities. You might think of values as being what of what dictates your priorities. So you might have a value of always having food and shelter, and so therefore you'll adjust your priorities to reflect that, and you'll always make sure that you have money for groceries, utilities, and rent. And then you'll spend your money. If you don't have that value, you don't have that priority, you might find yourself not able to pay the rent or to buy food easily. So values underlie priorities, and what happens with Aquarius on the second is that all of that gets overlaid by others. The other side to that is that you have the awareness that through aligning yourself a certain way, you are able to tap into collective resources and collective values. And there may be a little story you told yourself at some point where, if I want to have access to these collective values, I have to conduct myself a certain way. So one type of drama is acting a certain way so that you get your inheritance. And doing what the person from whom you might be getting your inheritance says you must do to be acceptable for that, and whether this happens literally as someone leaving you their money in some way or buying you a house, it can work on very subtle and sly levels. And so there's a possibility that you have been conned out of your own priorities. Now we've got Saturn and Jupiter together in your second house. And so Saturn is the get real influence. Saturn is saying we've got to get to the bottom line here about what matters to you and not what matters to the people around you that you then took on as your priorities. And this includes any group that you are with, including your immediate family, and even housemates, even any form of a group is going to, when you look honestly and carefully, going to seem to have an agenda for you. And so what Saturn is doing is saying, distinguish yourself from this agenda that others have about you. Set yourself free from that agenda. Now, that is on a long list of things that are more easily said than done, except that Saturn means business. Saturn is providing you a rare superpower. Remember, Saturn only stays in one sign for approximately 30 months out of every 29-year cycle. Sometimes a little more than 30 months, but sometimes less. And therefore, this is a rare moment for you to actually do this second house work of claiming your values, your priorities, and what is important to you. And what I think you will find is that when you do this, that you are doing the real work of self-actualization, right? Because the first house is easy to fudge, right? The first house is more subject to appearances and who you can blend in with and what you identify with and what you can claim to be. And, you know, what T-shirt you might wear, and that, you know, the T-shirt might be, well, to fit in here, I've got to wear a $2,000 Armani suit, you know, or a Halston dress or whatever it might be. And so the first is easy to fake most of the time. Of course, when Saturn comes through, as it did, all those layers get stripped down. You know, you might find that icky rug in the living room was really laid on top of, 12 layers of linoleum. And so, you know, you rip them off one at a time. And, you know, by the eighth layer of linoleum, you're just shaking your head, wondering how this is even possible. That's what it's like on the spiritual level as Saturn comes through. It just scrapes away. But when we get Saturn into the second house, this is the real reckoning of your account with yourself. This is where you must actually come to terms with what matters to you and with who you actually are. Aquarius or not, this is about you. And so now we look at Aquarius outside the group context. We have something that is about intelligence. We have something that is about ideas. We have something that is about the possibility of understanding community dynamics as a value, as an asset. That's another good word for the second. And so you have a good sense of community dynamics, even though that sense of community dynamics may have been used against you to con you out of your individuality. Now, as an adult, that is something that you can use to your advantage. Figure out bottom line of your personal reality, which means your needs and your assets. And then comes the matter of what do you do with them? What do you do with them? And so the thing that is not particularly difficult to notice is that people can be very stingy with their personal assets. And so I'm going to suggest that you not be stingy with your resources, that you be generous with your resources, particularly with yourself when you identify a need or a priority or a desire, and that you make the investment in yourself. And that investment might be a financial investment. It might be allocating the funds to make sure that a certain goal happens. It might relate to how you invest in the people around you. But the important thing is that they're your priorities and that you be willing to invest in your priorities and to deploy the resources that you have for the ends that you want to attain. So, you know, for example, whatever you're doing, whatever your craft or your trade or your profession is, you want to have good tools of the trade. You don't want any second-rate equipment. So that means getting the right stuff to do the work that you need to do and not necessarily thinking that you have to work on a 10-year-old computer that's slowing you down and that doesn't work properly because you're because you're a thrifty person or something like this. Well, I mean, that's a good way to undercapitalize your necessities and your priorities. And so this works on the spiritual level, it works on the financial level, it works on the level of investing your time in something. If there's something that you want, it may call for the investment of a lot of time. And that's just something that you have to give yourself. And I, notice how no one seems to have any time. Well, I don't buy that. I don't believe that. I think people have plenty of time. You look at what they do with their time. That's the thing. And there is a long-term investment issue where you have Saturn or anything Saturn ruled. Remembering that Aquarius is Saturn ruled, you may accept this is going to take you 4 years to accomplish this thing, but you're willing to do that and to be consistent with yourself. Now, Jupiter's presence in Aquarius for much of the year is a kind of a bonus. It's a reminder that you have a lot and that you don't really know what you have until you start to use it. And this counts for personal resources. It counts for talent. It counts for anything that is under your control to utilize for whatever purpose that you want in the physical world or the spiritual world, meaning intangible things like your attention. The more you use what you have, the more you figure out that you have it. And it is the people who don't do this, the people who refuse to experiment with making an investment, who are the ones who are the most likely to feel in some way impoverished. And Jupiter is saying, you have what to offer. Now, let's begin the topic of Kalasarpa specifically, and I would encourage you to read the articles, two of them, that I've just published this week, and then I did a version of Planet Waves TV discussing this. There's a very unusual yoga in your solar return chart. It's going to be in many, many charts, but the first place it shows up super big time this year is in the Capricorn new moon that happened earlier today, actually. It happened about 20-ish hours ago. And then it will be in the presidential inauguration chart. So it's going to be in a bunch of charts through the spring, but it is still a very rare yoga. And even when it is in effect, it's only in effect half the time because the moon goes to the other side of the node. So just addressing the what is it factor, it's when all the planets are grouped to one side of the lunar nodes. And this is not a condition that's recognized in Western astrology, which is quite interesting. It's only recognized in Vedic astrology. I just heard from Rob Hand this morning, was talking about this with him, and he said, he confirmed for me that it's not part of Greek or medieval or any of the astrologies that have fed into Western astrology. And so it is a thing that comes from the Vedic or Jyotish world, Vedic astrology from India and Bangladesh and those places. And It is a superpower, and it is a caution. The superpower is that it grants the drive to get things done. It grants the ability to have total focus on what you are doing and to do anything that you need to do to make that goal happen, including giving up anything that you need that's going to get in the way of the goal to have it. And that would include making adjustments in your priorities to make sure that you get things done. And you have this ability. You have this in quite full force right now, empowered by the conjunction of the new moon to Pluto. It's quite a lot of power in that. And as I'm writing, the sun, recording here, the sun is making a conjunction to Pluto. And this has happened every year, going back to 2008. And so, you know, you've experienced this before, but not like this. Not with Kala Sarpa Yoga in place. Not with the exact conjunction to Pluto as we have this morning. And not with the square to Eris. And I will cover that at the end. The caution is when you violate your principles, when you act in a self-serving manner, when you violate the public trust in some way, and that's actually a nice way to think of Aquarius in the second house, is that because the Aquarius energy has a collective quality to it, and yet it is in your personal second house that it is it puts you in the position of being a kind of a public trustee. And as a public trustee, you are someone who is therefore entrusted with matters of public importance. And Capricorn has a strong touch of this as well. It is essential that you remember your calling, that you remember your commitment, that you remember the importance of the service that you are performing, and that you never violate that trust. Because what happens with Kala Sarpa Yoga is that it grants a superpower, but then it puts that power under what you might think of as a kind of enhanced threefold law, right? There's a reason why practitioners of witchcraft, for lack of a better word, take the threefold law, accept the threefold law, which is that the damage that they cause shall come back to them thrice. And so that's the way to think of Kala Sarpa, is that it is power that is given to you, but it's given to you with a purpose, and you must honor that purpose and that trust and use your power well and wisely, because you have a lot of it. Once you get yourself engaged with something that calls forth the need for you to summon and dial in your true strength and all of your personal resources, you will see how amazing it is to have this working. And if you find yourself getting nervous, wondering if you are doing the wrong thing, that is a good sign to a point that you are reflecting and checking in on that, because so few people do reflect and check in on that. And then you have to trust yourself. You really have to trust yourself and remember that in the process of making any decision at all, particularly that involve others, but almost all decisions do involve others, that you do an ethics check. You really tap in and sort out right from wrong. little bit of Vision Quest. I forgot to write down the name of that piece. It's been a while since I heard that. Recorded long ago in the first configuration of Vision Quest. Okay, so you have what you need. When you've got such a strong second house, that's really the message, is that you have what you need. And with Aquarius involved, there is the teaching that your community has what you need, and to not be afraid to ask for assistance, ask for resources, to ask to borrow or to utilize or to hold others to your approved agenda. Once you've gone through your process of understanding that you're doing the right thing, you can go to getting the contributions and support of others. And the thing to remember is that you want to be aware of what the conditions are. What is the implied contract in any coordination, collaboration, or assistance that is offered to you? Because you can take on the karma of others. And so you want to have clear, clean discussions about this and know where you stand. But the main point being, you either have what you need or you have access to what you need. And with Jupiter and Saturn, in your second, the first thing to do is to commandeer the resources in some way rather than necessarily spending on them, but don't be afraid to spend on them, and particularly if it's something very personal that you use, whether, you know, you're a weaver and it's your loom, or you're a potter and it's your wheel, or you're a photographer and it's your cameras and your lenses. Make sure you have what you need, and particularly with Aquarius on the second, you want to make sure that your electronic assets are up to quality, that they are up to the job that you have them do, and that you have room to grow. Now, much of your astrology in going back all the way through recent memory has been dominated by Pluto in your sign. And there were some major peaks of this astrology. For example, there was a huge peak in 2011 and 2012. That was a big one. And then the next really big one, there have been a number of peaks of Pluto in Capricorn astrology, but then the next really big one took place in beginning in 2017. And most of that has moved on from now. Most of that has left Capricorn. Jupiter and Saturn and Pallas Athene have all left. And what you're left with are mainly Pluto in Capricorn, which has now got about 3 to 4 more years of resolving, and will become Pluto in Aquarius. That will be an interesting and telling experience. And we'll see. That, by the way, is the big astrology of the Great Reset and the technocratic revolution, which is why I think we have only about 2 years to get our priorities in order collectively. And to make important choices, and to decide whether we want to be humans or transhumans, whether we want to be responsible for ourselves and for our communities, or whether we want to, submit to the Borg. What we now are left with is the very end of Pluto in Capricorn. It's amazing that it's gone by so fast, but these, I guess, you're getting old when Pluto seems to move quickly. because it, you know, was in Scorpio when I started as an astrologer, and then has covered all of Sag and almost all of Capricorn since then. So that's not that quick. That's a 25, 26 years. And now Pluto's slowing down. It's going to spend 20 years in Aquarius. However, before it does that, it has to clear the end of Capricorn. And those end degrees are a vitally important part of the process. This is for many reasons. One is that it is the follow-through time. It is the time that you assure that you are completing the evolutionary work that was begun. And by the way, one of the things that Kalasarpa Yoga is giving you is the ability to complete that evolutionary work. The second thing is that Pluto is in an aspect, and it is in an aspect to an even slower moving point called Eris. Eris is in Aries, one of the most foundational signs for Capricorn, by the way, because it's your fourth solar house, or your fourth house if you have Capricorn rising. And so for all of 2020 and most of 2021, Pluto is going to be square Eris. The thing is that in 2020, we lost it in the sauce because of all of the other astrology going on and the unprecedented, unmitigated, total shit show that we saw go by. That little energy pattern, not so little really, was difficult to pick out of all the noise and the cacophony. However, now that planets have moved out of Capricorn and we have a clear view of your sign, it is easy to see that Pluto is square Eris. And this is more stuff encouraging your independence. This story is told many, many times over. But now imagine that there's another fact. There have been many factors in Capricorn that have been pushing on factors in Aries. And astrology tends to tell the same scenarios, but in different ways. And it's fascinating the way that it does this. It's almost like the opposite of observer bias when it's working, because you see something and then it just catches you off guard that the story is told a whole different way, but it's the same essential message. And the message of Aries in your chart is similar to having Aquarius on the second. The message of Aries in your chart is that your identity depends upon your family. And yet, that time is over. The time is over because Chiron has entered the scene. Mars spent half of 2020 there, creating all kinds of opportunities to define and distinguish yourself from others, but nothing so potent as Chiron in Aries in the fourth house to remind you on a constant daily basis that you are different from your family, and that though you may love them and care about them and have your own way of not judging them, which I would recommend if you can manage it, is that you are not them. You stand apart. You are different in all ways from them. And that difference is a crucial thing for you to honor. And so you are getting support from Chiron and Aries that is even more powerful than the support you're getting from Saturn in Aquarius. Because Saturn in Aquarius is saying you must distinguish yourself from their priorities. You must establish your constitution, your values, the code that you live by, that is not subject to the lobbying efforts of others, to the persuasion or any form of peer pressure, manipulation, or purchasing. Once you have begun to do this work of distinguishing yourself from these family units, you will start to tap into your ancestral power. So to tap into your ancestral power is not to get caught in the family drama. In fact, the family drama is where the ancestral power gets completely shredded and is lost. You can imagine that when a shaman invokes his or her ancestors, the wisdom of the ancestors, they're not talking about some argument that their father and their aunt may have had yesterday. They are standing apart from that, and the let's say the time tunnel goes back very, very far. And if you are able to stand apart from your immediate family, you will enter a realm where you tap into a vast pool of wisdom and information and knowledge and genuinely power that comes to you through through various forms of karmic and ancestral lineage. Now, you you need this, and we all need this. While you are doing this, there are two things that stand out as being of top level priority. One is that you really know when you're thinking things through and when you're not. That you know when you're being honest with yourself and when you're not. That you know when you don't know. Now, this is a rather sophisticated trick for most people, but it seems that there are people who do know when they don't know and others who don't know when they don't know. And I consider that to be the most meaningful dividing line between being intelligent and being a dumbass. Because it doesn't matter how much calculus you know. It doesn't matter how much history you know. In fact, the more you know, the more you may be convinced that you don't not know. And yet, one of the most cautionary reminders I've ever deduced or detected coming through Aquarius involves Mercury in Aquarius. Now we have Mercury in a conjunction with Jupiter and Pallas Athene as I'm writing. So there's a lot of factors in Aquarius right now as I'm writing. Saturn and the Moon is in an exact conjunction with Saturn, which happened during the course of this reading. A little bit later tonight, it's going to make a conjunction to Jupiter, then to Mercury, then to Pallas Athene. That's pretty smarty pants. That's pretty, you know, smartest guy in the room. That's not the position you want to be in. You want to be in the position of the person who is making the constant inquiry and not assuming and learning to know when you're assuming. You hear yourself, and one of the ways that we train journalists to do this is to constantly ask yourself how you know that. You don't necessarily have to reference and source everything throughout every conversation, letter, or email. But you always want to know how you know things, and you always want to be snaking up that, you know, pathway and making sure that that it checks out. And so it helps to test yourself to be willing to argue both sides. If you've got what you feel is a strong case for something, tear it down. Argue the other side and see what you learn from doing so. And between that and the process of accounting for the sources of all your information, you will learn a lot, and you will find yourself on ever more solid ground. And of course, it's vitally necessary to be able to be wrong and to be able to move on from what you might have been wrong about. Now, Neptune in the third house of thinking does not help knowing when you don't know so much. So you need many, many extra safeguards. And one thing that I have found is that it helps to write things down, because it is easy to miss things when they are said in spoken words. Though if you're quick, you can hear what you know. You can hear yourself making mistakes, and then you check them and you correct them and you get it right the next time. But in writing, it's really much more obvious, because writing is a little more got the feeling of being etched in stone. And also the in writing, the logic is more subject to critical analysis and fact-checking than is the rhetoric of the spoken word. So write it down and do a real analysis and just get it right and be willing to be wrong so that you can get it right. Now, as important as anything that I've said so far today is that in your solar return chart is Mars in Taurus. There's a new addition in Taurus, and relatively new, 2.5 years. That's not that new, but it seems like it, which is Uranus in Taurus. Taurus is your fifth place. The fifth place is where you blow off steam. It's where you have fun. It's where you experiment. It's where you try new things. It is where you explore as a sexual being. One of the things I'm concerned about with this whole planet lockdown and the gagging, the masking, the hiding, the anxiety about human contact in all forms is that people are going to get sexually frustrated. And that is part of any good plan to take over society and alienate people. And I would encourage you to do everything in your power to not be sexually frustrated, and to give yourself as much opportunity as you can to experiment, explore, share, and blow off steam in your physical body, because that's Taurus in the fifth. Taurus in the fifth is physical. It must be, needs to be physical. Still on the Kalasarpa side of the chart, see this here? No, are we? No, have we? We have. Taurus. Just sizing this up. Is Gemini in your house of work? And that's a good point of departure. Let me finish one last thought involving Uranus in Taurus in the fifth. Mars has joined Uranus in the fifth, and as you may know, there's going to be a conjunction of Mars and Uranus, which is kind of an explosive conjunction on the day of the presidential inauguration, and so there is a lot of courting violence and aggression in our society right now, and also using the images of violence and aggression to get some end. And I would encourage you to not get caught in these dramas and to recognize frustrated, uncreative energy when you see it, and to make yourself the living barometer of that. And there's a certain way you'll feel. There's this tension you'll feel, or a sense of being shut down, or it's not the feeling that it's not okay for you to be you, or that someone's going to judge you. Note those feelings, because those are the signals coming from consensus reality and also from internalized sources to shut yourself down. Concluding with the work angle of your chart, this is a place you need a lot of room to breathe. There can be nothing oppressive about your work. That is to say that you must be able to the best extent possible, work at your own pace and in your own way, but you need a human environment This is Gemini on the sixth house. And a lot of very beneficial relationships can come through work. It is the most likely place for relationships to come through. Though whether we're talking about work relationships or so-called romantic, we don't really have a good word for that anymore because they're not necessarily romantic, but let's say amorous partnerships, is that in either case, the point of meeting is priorities. That's the thing to check. That's the one filter for discerning whether anyone is a suitable work or relationship partner. Do you have similar priorities? Do you have a similar understanding of what is necessary? And the only way to get that is through experience. You have to listen to what people say, and then you have to get some miles down with them. You have to move with them and travel with them and start to collect experiences with them. And this is always a grand experiment. You know, returning back to this fifth house Taurus, which is a relational house, right? It's about art. It's also about sex for fun and relating for fun and kind of activity buddies, but it's got a lot of friggin' energy with Mars and Uranus going there. There's a little message from Chiron right now, which is that as I'm recording, Mars is in the Chiron discovery degree. And there's a couple of messages there. The Chiron discovery degree for Taurus, the Rainbow Bridge degree, acts like a second Chiron that stands in one place at all times. And this is saying that the process of healing and of experimentation requires experience, and that your experiments are all, especially creative and sexual, are all experiments in healing. That your experiments in expressing your desire are experiments in healing and learning healing through a creative process. You know, we don't think of healing as being creative, but the breakthroughs in healing are almost always creative breakthroughs. The thing that you think about that saves you from something, or that provides the remedy to something, or the obvious approach that you didn't see right away. Think of those things all as being creative and all as being experimental. And experimental means that you gather your experience and you learn from your experience. There's a real lack of this in the world right now. And as you embrace your experience and what you learn from experience, and then try again and learn again. That is moving through the world in a conscious way. And one of the things to experiment with and to heal is the experiment in what you want. There is nothing more important. You don't always get what you want. We don't ever always get what we want, but it is through experimenting with what we want. It is through gaining the experience of trying, of exploring and experimenting with desire that we start to learn these dynamics of ourselves and of the way that the world responds. And so be generous with yourself in the experiment of life. And there are, you know, with Mars conjunct Uranus, there are going to be times when you want to try something that is just like really pretty wild. And I suggest that you give yourself the freedom and the space to do that. All right. An honor working with you in these very challenging times. Should you have thoughts or questions, a good email address for me is efc@planetwaves.net. If I don't answer right away, I didn't see it, so I'll just ask that you please resend it a day or two later. And be gentle with yourself, as gentle as you can be. Okay. Thank you for your trust. And bye for now.